Lord Jesus Christ. This is your host, pastor of Grace Missionary Baptist Church here in Temperance, Michigan. My name is Joe Sitters, and welcome again to another recording of From the Pastor's Desk. I have to give you a heads up before we start recording. It is a beautiful day here, so if you hear some traffic noise in the background, that's because my microphone is probably not located far enough away from the window to drive those noises out. So I do apologize. I'll try to speak loud enough that you can hear me, and if there's excessive traffic noise, then we'll close the windows. But once again, I want to welcome you to From the Pastor's Desk. We welcome you to visit our services anytime. Our Sunday services are 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. for main worship service, and then 2 p.m. for the afternoon service study time. Currently, we're working our way through a discipleship study, but it'll be, once again, preaching services shortly. The next couple weeks is actually a treat for the local visitors and membership, because we have a couple guest speakers coming in to fill the pulpit for me, supply for the church, as I will be taking I refer to it as a vacation, but I'll be taking some time to preach at a Bible conference down in Olmsted, Kentucky, as well as preach for a very dear friend of mine that we have recorded in the past on here, Brother Matthew Stepp, down at Big Creek Baptist Church. So do pray for me, if you would, that the Lord would give me the message that they desire to hear and give me safe travels. I will do my best to continue to record through the next couple of weeks, because I do believe that this is a worthwhile ministry. But again, I do ask for your prayers, and certainly covet your prayers for the preachers who are supplying from the pulpit here locally. Once again, you can find any of our previous messages through iTunes or Podbean by simply searching for Grace Missionary Baptist Church. You can also find us on our Facebook page, where we share our messages pretty much instantaneously, also by searching Grace Missionary Baptist Church. Without further ado, today's reading is entitled Atheism. It's written by a missionary to Korea named C.W. Bronson. I will tell you before we read it that it is a little dated. I don't have the year available for when this was written, but it does come with a cartoon or an illustration on the front of two mountain climbers falling, tethered together, certainly for safety purposes, but both falling tethered together. And the one atheist asked the other, "Do you know any prayers?" Just recently, plans have been announced to build an atheist colony near Stockton, Kansas. This being quite near my home, I feel that I should speak my mind on the subject. This proposed colony is to be founded by none other than Mrs. Madeline J. Murray, the woman who recently made national headlines over her legal suit in the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court made the decision to ban required Bible readings and prayer recitations in schools. The colony, which is to be known as Other Americans, would include a university, an information center, a radio station, a printing press, and a home for the aged. Mrs. Carl Brown, a Stockton farmer, is furnishing 160 acres of land for this purpose. Brown said that she had been an atheist, or her husband and her had been an atheist themselves during the previous 20 years. And you'll see some more character references to the Brown family here shortly in this reading. People of Stockton are quite shocked and upset about the whole idea. City officials and ministers have expressed their disapproval of the movement. Several organizations in the city are said to be doing all within their power to resist the establishment of the colony. Atheism, the denial of the existence of God, is a most objectionable and offensive teaching. I am glad to know that we live in a country, or lived in a country, where people will resist this sort of thing. The Bible has no kind word to say for atheists. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, "The fool hath said in heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good." It is interesting to note that this thought is repeated in Psalm 53 in almost the same identical words. This is no vain repetition, but merely intensifies the charge. Notice the Bible terminology, "the fool hath said." The atheist is a fool. Many persons are foolish, especially in the matter of religion, But the atheist is the worst fool of all, for he denies God altogether. Who would listen to a fool? Who would seek a fool's advice? The fool says, no God. The word atheist is made up of two parts, the privative a and the Greek word for God, theos. Literally, the psalm reads, a fool hath said in his heart, no God. Then according to God's word, an atheist is a fool. He hath said in his heart, he may try to fool himself, but how many others can he really persuade? By nature, we know that God is a real person. We need no proof, for we are persuaded of the truth of the matter. No one but a fool will listen to the babbling of an atheist. What kind of moral character does an atheist possess? Brown, the person who is furnishing the land for this atheist colony, is said to have been married once for about 6 years and is now a divorcee. Also, he has been a member of the American Sunbathing Association, a nudist group, for 25 years. Also, Mrs. Murray's picture showing her drinking at a bar recently appeared in a newspaper. The Bible says they are corrupt. Spurgeon, in commenting on the scripture, says they are rotten. It is idle to compliment them as sincere doubters and amiable thinkers. They are putrid. There is too much dainty dealing nowadays with atheism. It is not a harmless error. It is an offensive, putrid sin, and righteous men ought to look upon it in that light. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Their works, according to this psalm, are abominable. It is abominable to establish a colony based upon the principle that there is no God. It is abominable to establish a university with the apparent purpose of teaching others to deny God. God rewards the sinner according to his works. How can such as these escape the condemnation of hell? Yet there are cases of even atheists repenting and trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. One thing we are assured of, God is just and gives the worst of sinners space to repent, according to Revelation chapter 2, verse 21. I would like to point out the scriptures we have been dealing with not only have reference to atheists, but also to all sinners. All men before salvation are what we may call practical atheists. There is none that doeth good, no, not one, Psalm 14, verse 3. This is reference to all mankind. The atheist is called a fool in Scripture. The rejecter of Christ is called a liar. Who is a liar but he that denieth the Christ Jesus? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. The Bible tells us that all liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Mr. Atheist, thou shalt have thy part in the lake, unless thou dost repent. Unbeliever, your part is with the atheist, unless you repent of your sins. It would seem, then, rightly so, that we would not consider atheists as good neighbors. How would it be to have them as neighbors for eternity? That will be the case of all who do not place their faith in Jesus Christ. Not only will they have atheists as neighbors, but also the wicked of all ages, murderers, ungodly wretches, friends, fiends, demons, and the old liar, the devil, as company. Do you think that atheists are sinners above all other sinners because they do such things? Luke 13, verse 3 says, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There is one escape from the condemnation of hell for all sinners. God has provided one refuge to whom sinners may flee, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for all who will believe in him. His substitutionary death upon the cross completely atones for the believer's sins. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. To every sinner who will listen, may he say, flee to Jesus. He is your only hope. He is the only way to salvation. All who come to him will he save. Hear him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. John chapter 6, verse 37. Admittedly, a refreshing short track here today, but I'd like to repeat a couple things out of here and expound, if you'll allow me, on just a couple further points. Clearly that our writer, C.W. Bronson, is impassioned over this, and rightfully so. Understand the term atheist, as it says here, is one that would say there is no God. But not just one that would say that there's no God in ignorance, but one that, based on his own flesh, based on his own research, based on his own beliefs, believes there's no God. An atheist is not one who doesn't believe in anything. An atheist is one who believes there's no God. Just as anyone listening who's been born again would believe there is a God, this is one based on false evidence that believes there's no God. Agnostics claim that similarly to believe in nothing. The word agnostic is actually translated as ignoramus. It's rather silly that one would proudly claim themselves to be an agnostic when it is the same as claiming to be an ignoramus. He wrote here, "Do you think that atheists are sinners above all other sinners because they do such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," quoting, of course, Luke 13:3. I'm glad that he puts this in the writing. When I had initially read this track, I'll admit to you, I was concerned that maybe that wouldn't work its way in. But it is refreshing, even as a born-again believer, to have that reminder that we are not so far above those who claim to be atheists, or those who claim to be atheists that have no proof and don't actually have a foundation for the belief, but have chosen that as an easier path, perhaps. We are no further above them if we do not repent of our own sins. Remember in the Bible the story of the publican and the Pharisee, and they were praying. It was a parable Jesus used to point out pride, but also to give a picture of prayer. And the publican made a grandiose speech and drew attention to himself, declaring how much better he was, and he was thankful for this, how much better he was than the publican there. I think I may have said that wrong. The Pharisee was saying, I'm thankful for how much better I am here than this publican. But then when we look closer at the response of the publican, he doesn't retort, he doesn't aggressively defend himself, but rather says, "I am a sinner through and through. Be merciful unto me, O Lord." Born-again believer, we can easily read or listen to a track like this and rise and get angry about the atheistic movement that we see today. Again, you notice from the opening paragraphs, this is a bit dated. Things have changed, and sadly things are working their way back into mainstream now in regards to socialism and atheistics and such. And it's easy for us to get angry in reading this, but we need to understand that what is most paramount is the grace of God. What separates us from them is the grace of God. The distinguishment itself is the grace of God. If you know an atheist in your life, pray for them. Pray for them fervently. Pray the Lord's hand would be upon them. Don't pray for their misery. Don't pray for their hardship, but pray for God's mercy. Again, I encourage you to join us someday if you're in the area. Temperance, Michigan is just a block or two north of Toledo, Ohio. Beautiful little community, and we'll save a pew for you. If you have any questions, feel free to email me at PastorJoeGMBC@gmail.com. Again, PastorJoeGMBC@gmail.com. May the Lord add the blessing to his word.